On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we're talking Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Does Jar Jar Binks represent the human condition? What about the connection between the Jedi mind trick and temptation? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course. Find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 2. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We'll explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, my friend, what have you been up to lately?
Well, Michael, I've recently acquired a new position here in Bedford County. I'm now part of the Fly Arts Center's Theater Committee.
Ah, see, look, that education is paying off.
Good. If only it would actually pay off instead of...
Hey, it's leading to bigger and better things. You grew up in this area.
True.
And so the Fly has been a big part of your life, has it not?
It has.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit more about the Fly. What is it? What does it do?
Well, it's the central hub of anything artistic in Bedford County. It's the center for performing arts, for visual arts, for a lot of wedding receptions, because it's actually a refurnished clothing factory.
Yeah, it's beautiful inside there. In fact, anybody who has watched the videos on the Great Commission Transmission Network knows I did a series of videos called Inside the Great Commission Transmission Network, where I give you a day-to-day behind-the-scenes look into the runnings and the goings-on here at GCT Network Studio. In fact, if you're watching live right now on the video, you are seeing the GCT Network Studio. We have that at gctnetwork.com/live. We turn on the cameras when we are broadcasting here in the studio. But regardless, I've got some great footage at the Fly when I was taking my kids for rehearsals for the play that you guys did, Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And so, Brendan, you have put on plenty of plays there and been involved in the productions. What is your new position going to require of you?
Well, it's going to be requiring of me that I step out of an acting participant, if you will, and I'm going to be part of the leadership that will you could say direct the directors and help the producers produce. We're going to kind of be the liaison from between the public and the Fly Arts Council.
That's awesome. And especially since our kids love to be involved at the Fly, and hopefully, if I could say that properly, for many more years to come under the wonderful tutelage of our very own Brendan Taylor.
Tutelage.
I love to say that word whenever I can. Last weekend, well, it's been, a couple of weeks since we've recorded episode 1, which, incidentally, episode 1 of Finding Christ in Cinema is being released today, the official release date. And so our recording schedule is a little bit cattywampus. We were hoping to be able to record a week from now, but scheduling didn't permit. So we're way ahead of schedule right now, I guess would be the term. But last weekend, I took my oldest daughter and a group of kids from the local congregation, Fairlane Church of Christ. We drove to West Tennessee to participate in Evangelism University. It was a whole weekend of learning more about ministering. Is actually what the theme was, and that's what we're all about here at the Great Commission Transmission Network. And so it was uplifting and it was good. I have also spent the last couple of weeks catching up on a book series that is being turned into a major motion picture that's coming out next month, Divergent. Have you heard of this movie?
I have heard of that. I've seen I've seen at least one trailer.
Well, it's going to be pretty neato, and the themes in it are very apropos to society. It reminds me a little bit of Orwell, 1984.
The whole dystopia.
Definitely dystopian in this. But the lady, or the young lady that wrote this series of books, is a professing Christian. So it gives an interest. Well, so was George Orwell, but gives an interesting spin. But we'll see what Hollywood does with it because like I was telling you, that she gave them plenty of rope that they can go in certain directions, and we'll just have to see. So we're excited to see that movie when it comes back, and we will come right back in here into the studio afterwards and discuss that, see if we can find some Christian themes in there. I've already started on the second book as well, called Insurgent. So we'll see what goes on with that. Anything else?
I'm just curious. What's the third book called?
I don't know yet.
Well, I'm sure it rhymes with urgent.
It does.
It may be called urgent.
Gent is at the end. We'll know that. But and in fact, I hope to be able to sneak in the opportunity to talk about another book that I'm starting a little bit later in the show. We'll see if it lends itself to the subject. But anything else?
Not yet.
Not yet. Let's go and talk about some real news. MGM Studios celebrates its 90th anniversary. 90 years. And with it, they have released a retrospective montage video on YouTube. Since its beginning on April 12, 1924, the studio has released iconic films from Some Like It Hot and The Princess Bride. We need to talk about that movie. All the way to The Hobbit. Hint, hint.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yes. Episode 1 of Finding Christ in Cinema. We discuss The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. So make sure that you have listened to that. But though this montage seems to ignore classic black and white films, it's still a goosebump-inducing little nugget perfect for sharing with your social network. So, once again, from Finding Christ in Cinema to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, happy anniversary. Hey, I don't know if it's on MGM or not, but Sacha Baron Cohen could be off to Wonderland. This coming in, where does this come from? Empire Online, I do believe. Through the Looking Glass is currently set to open on May 27th, 2016. Sacha Baron Cohen is looking to play the villain. Alice in Wonderland screenwriter Linda Wolverton, she wrote the sequel, and they're going to return to Wonderland. So, but what will actually happen in the story is still a closely held secret. Of course, Johnny Depp and Mia
Wasikowska.
Yes, reprise their roles. It will be interesting to see this reboot.
Mm-hmm. But I think Sasha will do a really good job as a villain, because he does a really nice villain in Sweeney Todd. But you haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that, and I've only really watched him. Now, of course, he's the voice of the King Julian in
Madagascar.
Yeah. Okay, he's funny in that. I won't watch any of his Borat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So really, the only other thing that I've ever seen him in is one of my very favorite movies from the past 5 years, Hugo. It's a beautiful movie, absolutely gorgeous movie, and he's great in it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So hopefully they will keep him being a Disney movie. He will be appropriate to watch. All right. Brendan.
Listen up, all you Breaking Bad fans. All hear this. Aaron Paul will be playing the role of Joshua in Ridley Scott's latest film, Exodus. That's right. He will be joining Christian Bale, who will be playing Moses. Yes, Jesse Pinkman will help Batman lead the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land. Now, can you just imagine that little red Toyota Tercel wagon kicking up the dust behind the Batmobile down the middle of the Red Sea? I know I can.
I'm Batman.
I'm
Moses.
Yes, that's it. Okay, forgive me. I know it's not really new, since it's been in talk since last August. I just wanted to put it out there, since Michael mentioned Exodus last episode, and I didn't know this bit of news until this episode. So, either way.
I'm excited for that movie. Let's go to the rumor mill and possible spoilers.
Spoilers?
Are Michael Fassbender, Adam Driver, and Hugo Weaving among the many actors pegged for Star Wars? Ooh, The Hollywood Reporter, reports... Oh. And sources confirm Breaking Bad's Jesse Plemons is on the list to chat with Abrams for episode 7 and possibly the entire trilogy. Abrams is, according to many sources, casting a wide, wide net and meeting with everyone. While most names come with no identifying character, Hugo Weaving does. Weaving, according to two sources, met for a part to play an Imperial commander. And that excites me. I love Hugo Weaving in The Matrix, mm-hmm. all of the Middle Earth movies, Lord yep. of the Rings, The Hobbit, and especially his portrayal of the Red Skull in Captain America. Yep. He did great in that. So very excited about that. But more casting news. Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford start in March or April. This is via the Star Wars Report. Star Wars at Star Wars Report on Twitter. They were linking to a blog called clubjade.net, which links to TVGuide.com. TV Guide talked to Carrie Fisher about some other things, but she was quoted as saying that the next Star Wars film that she, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill are expected to report to work in March or April. She says, I'd like to wear my old cinnamon buns, you know, her hairstyle, but with white hair, I think that would be funny.
And to put a little perfect cap on the Star Wars news to lead into our episode, J.J. Abrams has made it official. The script for Star Wars Episode 7 is complete. That's right. In a public appearance over the third weekend of January, the usually hush-hush Abrams let it slip that the gears are turning more and more for this latest installment in the franchise. Quote, we're working really hard and we've got our script and we're in deep prep. Full steam ahead.
So exciting. I can't wait to see what he does. In that report also, he has made it clear that he will not be filming in IMAX format. So I'm not much of an IMAX watcher. I've only seen a couple of movies in IMAX. They were both nature movies, and one of them made me car sick. How about you?
Oh, yeah, I'm not that much of IMAX or 3D or anything like that. I mean, I saw Avatar. And that's really the only one I think is worth mentioning.
Am I the only one that's excited to know also that he's filming on 35mm film stock?
I mean, a movie's a movie to me.
No, film it on 35mm the way the good Lord intended it. So speaking of Star Wars, Brendan, you ready to go to the movies?
I'm strapped in and ready to go to Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Yes, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Every generation has a legend, every journey has a first step, every saga has a beginning. Stranded on the desert planet Tatooine after rescuing young Queen Amidala from the impending invasion of Naboo, Jedi apprentice Obi-Wan Kenobi and his Jedi master Qui-Gon Jinn discover 9-year-old Anakin Skywalker, a young slave, unusually strong in the Force, from 1999. Go!
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
He can see things before they happen.
He can help you.
The Force is unusually strong with him.
He was meant to help you.
Anakin! Tell him to take off!
Will I ever see you again?
What does your heart tell you?
Are you sure about this? Trusting our fate to a boy we hardly know?
Anakin Skywalker, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I sense much fear in you.
The boy is dangerous. They all sense it. Why can't you?
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Brendan, did you see that film in the theaters?
I did. This is going to sound weird, but in the third grade, We took a field trip to see that movie in theater. No, wait, no, no. I think it came out that summer. No, no. I remember. Hold on, hold on. It wasn't a. It was a field trip, but it wasn't with school. It was with the daycare that I went to. We took a field trip to go see that movie, and I remember being so excited because, and I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, I grew up with the first trilogy being legendary automatically. You know, you could say Darth Vader, lightsabers, Yoda, and immediately I was just bombarded with all these thoughts of excitement and superheroes and being able to stop evil and all that good stuff. So when I first learned about another Star Wars movie being made in my lifetime, of course, I went crazy with all the other little kids because we, our generation, had a viable representation in the most highly praised film, in one of the most highly praised film franchises of all time. Too bad that viable representation grew up to be Darth Vader. But, you know, it was exciting to be part of history like that, even though we weren't really part of history.
Now, okay, so because I am twice your age.
Oh, what?
See, now, I saw the original Star Wars in 1977. I was 7 years old. And so Star Wars has been my whole entire life, really, because when I sat down in the theater at 7 years old, I remember because it was a weekday, I must have been, summer vacation. And so my mom took me to the theaters. My dad would be at work, right? And my life was instantly changed. Instantly. Oh, my goodness. It would never be the same again. And so as soon as my dad had a day off, I got him to take me as well. You know,
there you go.
I don't even know if it was the next day. and so, incidentally, my mother fell asleep at...
Well,
you know, and she wasn't that old. I mean, you know, she's just like not even 30 at the time.
She was probably just thinking, oh, it's another one of these movies.
She was 29, I think, as a matter of fact, and fell asleep. But so and it invaded the whole culture of our lives, all the kids at school, and people were making like wanting to do home movies on their parents' Super 8, you know, film projector our cameras.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I remember that a couple of kids, they were putting together this whole thing, and I had Star Wars bed sheets and, you know, of course, posters and records and board games. I still have a board game in my kids' room from 1977 and all the action figures. And so needless to say, 1999 came around, you know. You always knew that something was wrong. Just three movies, and it's part, you know, 4, 5, and 6. Something's wrong. You know, where's the other ones?
How did this all start?
Yes, and how does it end? And you know, of course, there's a million different books and all kinds of things. And Timothy Zahn wrote the Heir to the Empire, which is part, 7, 8, 9, basically. So highly anticipating that release date in 1999. So now, Brendan, before I give my thoughts on it, what, you know, just a general film review here. Overall, how do you feel about The Phantom Menace?
You know, I thought it was a pretty solid film production wise, and also with a solid script. Being able to, you know, and I can't mention this without saying all the opening title cards, the scroll back. You know, we as Earth inhabitants need those to understand what's going on in the film. And I felt like I was ready to go into the film, understand everything. You know, why are Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan even talking with the Federation? Oh, that's why. You know, and it flows well. I think it's a solid story. And like I said, you know, growing up with Darth Vader as a legendary character, we knew. Or I knew watching it that, you know, this is all going to come to a head later on down the road. So some stuff that wasn't answered, some loose ends maybe, you know, I could take those with a grain of salt and knowing that they'd be answered later on in the series.
You know, there are so many people out there like me that grew up with the series. There are plenty of younger folks just like you that absolutely despise the prequels. with a passion. I mean, a passion. They refuse to acknowledge that they even exist.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not of that school of thought.
No, you can't. I don't think you can be, honestly. Or you, I don't think you shouldn't be. But then again, I'm not going to tell anyone.
It's not a judgment call on anybody. Yeah, we're not saying that you've left the Lord or anything like that. But I am of the school of thought that that it's George Lucas's story. He's the one that decides on what it was, right? Mm-hmm. He's the one that said this is canon. This is what took place, and so I love them. I love them. And people complain, oh, what a crummy way for that's the best you could do as the origin story for Darth Vader. That's the best you could come up with. I thought it was great.
I thought it was good.
I mean, what more can you could turn somebody than love, you know, and things like that. The themes in the origin of Anakin Skywalker, I thought were great. I stand behind the movie, and that's about it. I mean, anything else for a general overview of the films that you wanted to bring out?
No, not at this time.
Okay, then let's go ahead and jump right into the specifics. What are some of the things that you found rewatching this to pull out some Christian themes that we can impart on the listeners to use as a ministry tool? Remember that. That is the purpose of Finding Christ in Cinema, is to pull out things that you guys can use while you're sitting down and watching movies with your friends and point out, hey, did you ever notice that about this one character? That's very much like Jesus or Paul or some other Christian theme. Brendan, take it away.
Well, I'm gonna step back outside of this film just for one second to call to mind the Jedi mind trick.
Okay.
Now, you know, like I said, growing up, all these things were already known to me. The, you know, Darth Vader, lightsabers, the Jedi Knights, and their manipulation of the Force. Specifically in the Jedi mind trick. Now, what is the Jedi mind trick? Well, you know, it's that thing when a Jedi waves his hand in front of your face and convinces you of something that you were opposed to before. You know, when a Jedi tricks your mind, it's like a concentrated and powerful dose of the power of suggestion. You know, it persuades you one way or the other if you were ever on the fence, if that makes sense. I make a rhyme every time. And, you know, one would think that with this great power comes the great responsibility to use it to persuade people to make the morally correct decision. Thus, a wave of the Jedi's hand could eradicate any evil thought in a person's mind and convince them to make the right choice all the time, right? Ooh, wrong. Jedi mind tricks don't work like that. Why not? Because in the Star Wars world, the Jedi mind trick only works on the weak-minded. And by that, I mean those minds that aren't adamantly resolved to a decision and are easily persuaded by a third-party force, pun intended. For example, and this is, I think this is a powerful moment in this movie in particular, where we have an example of the mind trick not working. Watto, the Toydarian, Anakin's owner, refuses to accept Qui-Gon Jinn's Republic credits as payments for the parts necessary to repair the ship. And Qui-Gon tries to use the mind trick to convince him otherwise. Let's listen to
this. How is he going to pay for all of this?
I have 20,000 Republic dactaries.
Republic credits? Republic credits are no good out here. I need something more real.
I don't have anything else, but credits will do fine.
No, they won't.
Credits will do fine.
No, they won't. What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that? I'm a Toydarian. My tricks don't work on me. Only money. No money, no parts, no deal. And no one else has a T-14 hyperdrive, I promise you that.
See, Watto, he says that the Jedi mind trick doesn't work on him because he's a Toydarian. But, stepping out of that little context for a little bit, Toydarians are strong-minded. They are, some would say, hard-headed, stubborn. You know, those all those little terms go with the fact that they are adamantly resolved to not accept anything but cold, hard cash. And for that reason, the Jedi mind trick doesn't work on him. Now, what is the spiritual application on this? I'd like to relate it to how temptation works.
Okay.
An understanding of how temptation works. Because it's easy to give into a temptation when we are weak-minded. And that's a, I'm trying to jump off this platform. Weak-minded in this context, I mean, something that a person is already partial, privy, and prone to, you know, a decision or an action that may be detrimental in the long run, but for the, you know, for the moment, for the now, it's a good decision. It'll feel good. And this could stem from what James talks about in his letter, the first chapter, actually. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. I know that's a bit of a stretch, but just follow me here. You know, when we already have something that we want, you know, we have these yearnings and we have, obviously we want things that may not be beneficial to us, and that could be considered a temptation. You know, we want to bite the apple when God says no. You know, going back to the Garden of Eden. And if we already have that desire to commit the sin to get that pleasure, then that desire doesn't really need that much pushing because it's already on that downward slope.
Right.
So then, you know, what's the solution to this? Being strong-minded. And I don't just mean like the proverbial cookie jar. You know, I can't have a cookie, but I want a cookie. But I can't have one, but I want one.
You're talking about being resolute.
I'm talking about being firm, not wishy-washy, not on the fence, not anything. And what this requires is a change of focus. You know, we want that immediate pleasure, but we fall into the trap of focusing on the sin and thinking it is the only way to obtain that pleasure. But if the ultimate end-all final pleasure is to be back home with God, then we should focus on that and remember that the sin takes away from that ultimate pleasure.
So you're using the force in the sense of an influence, an outside influence, something that is going to exert a pressure of some sort, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're just using, I'm tracking that you're referring to the force as just an outside force. And it is our job as Christians to be resolute, to know what is good and proper, the Christian thing to do, and not budge. Be strong-willed, strong-minded, mm-hmm, for good.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to use the metaphor that Paul uses, the helmet of salvation.
Okay.
You know, you wear a helmet to protect your head. Paul's idea when making this expression in Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians, you know, in fact, I'm going to read the 1 Thessalonians passage. Therefore, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, and he uses the word hope appropriately, I think, because it helps us focus on the future. I mean, even though it's not here and now, we're having to overlook temporal pleasures and, you know, short-term easiness. We're having to overlook that, and we'll look into some hardships later on in life. But once we focus on the prize, and the prize is to be back home with God, if that's our main focus, and that's what he means by the helmet of salvation, then sinning will be a lot harder. I'm not saying it won't be eradicated, because that's, like, you know, personal sin. Wait, hold on. Did that make sense?
You know, restate it.
Well, I mean, we're always going to sin. That's the thing, but it'll be a lot less of a struggle if we keep our focus on the prize.
Absolutely,
that is being back home with God.
Absolutely. And that actually goes into one of my problems with these films. And we're going to save a big discussion on the religion of Star Wars, the religion of the Force, until we complete the entire film series. So whenever that occurs.
Whenever.
Yeah, so we're just going to be pulling out bits and pieces out of each of these films. We don't even know when we're going to do episode 2 yet. You know, that could be a month. It could be several months. It could be the episode after next. We don't know. But. So we're going to save the big overarching discussion on the religion of Star Wars until then. But one of my problems with this film is right off the bat. We want to point this out to people because this ties in great to what Brendan is talking about. Listen to what Qui-Gon Jinn tells young Anakin about the Force.
Remember, concentrate on the moment. Feel, don't think. Use your instincts.
I will.
May the Force be with you.
Now, does that tie in to what you're talking about?
It is tying in. It's tying in. Qui-Gon, you know, he's telling Anakin to focus on the here and now, the moment, the
and
present.
And feel. Don't think.
Don't think too hard about what you're doing. Just go along with the flow.
If it feels good, do it. Because that's the way that the Force is leading you. And that's what the Force does. Taking it out of the context of this film and back to what you're bringing out, Brendan, the Force is outside of us, giving us pressure, whether it's peer pressure, whether it is Satan roaming about as a
roaring lion.
Yeah. Whether it is, really, those are going to be the real two things, but it could be other things. It could be desperation. It could be illness. Outside things that cause you to veer away from your resolute, you know, eye on the prize that cause you to sin, you know, so be aware of those forces. Be aware of the Force, the dark side especially. Am I tracking with you?
No, you're spot on.
Anything spot else? On.
No, I'm ready to hear what you have.
I'm going to pick out everybody's most hated character of the Star Wars prequels. Do you know who that is?
I do know who you're talking about, but I'm just going to say I don't hate him.
Me neither.
I don't see why everyone does.
And do you know why I do not hate Jar Jar Binks, and I think that many other people do hate Jar Jar Binks?
Why is that, Michael?
Because he exemplifies the human condition.
Oh, so he's like a mirror.
I really think that he is, and I think the people that have the biggest problem with him have a problem with themselves. And you know, just accept this characterization of Jar Jar Binks. He's a good guy, but he does bad things. And Jar Jar Binks, he's the clumsy but well-meaning Gungan outcast. Okay? Why is he cast out? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. But listen to this passage from Isaiah 64, verse 6. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Jar Jar, as well-meaning as he is, his best efforts are junk. They are junk. They're junk to the Gungans. So why was Jar Jar sent away? What sin did he commit?
It's a long tale, but a small part of it would be Miss Clumsy.
You were banished because you were clumsy.
You so mightn't be saying that.
Okay, banished because he was clumsy, and you can hear in his voice, that's all I'm telling you,
yeah,
right?
That's all you're allowed to know at this
point. Do we find out anywhere else in this film what clumsy thing that he did? No, I searched for it in the whole trilogy. You can't find it, but I did find something that may not be considered to be canon in the Star Wars expanded universe, but it's the only explanation that we get. And Wikipedia. Yes, there is a site called Wikipedia, which is a brilliant play on words.
Yes, it is.
Well played, sir or madam, whoever came up with that. They offer some biographical info on Jar Jar that, a particular incident that appears only in Star Wars Tales, number 1 through 20. I'm taking it that that's going to be a comic book series. And so because it only appears in there, oops, hit the mic stand, it makes its level of canonicity ambiguous. Yet it offers a possible reason for his banishment. So, Boss Nass, we'll get to him in a little bit. Yes. Okay, you get to hear about, you learn about Jar Jar's history of clumsiness. His father was a whaler, and his father's father was a whaler, and so on. They've been whalers their existence, and I'm imagining these great, gigantic, creepy creatures that they're going to be dodging as they're going through the planet's core, right? So those are some pretty nasty creatures there. But so his whole family always been whalers. His dad takes him out. Well, Jar Jar, he gives they're chasing this whale. He gives Jar Jar the wheel. Take the helm, Jar Jar. Jar Jar spazzes out, crashes into the whale. The ship sinks to the bottom of the ocean. Yes. And then something happened a while later, and Jar Jar and his parents both end up stranded on a desert island. Okay, so Jar Jar, the poor guy, things just don't go right with Jar Jar. So anyway, later on, Boss Nass employed Jar Jar in his kitchen at his mansion to work for a lavish party that he was throwing. Jar Jar caused an explosion in the kitchen that cracked the bubble wall, and it flooded the party. He tried to save Boss Nass's luxury, what they call a hay blibber. It's his aquatic vehicle of some sort, but crashed it. And outraged, the Gungan Council Chamber of Judgment banished Jar Jar on pain of death. Okay, yes. So Jar Jar, he got banished for being clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This poor fellow, he needed saving.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
He's got a problem. His problem is himself, really. So he needed saving. And when Qui-Gon and his Padawan, his apprentice, his disciple, Obi-Wan Kenobi, land on Naboo aboard the Trade Federation landing ship that they stowed away on. Qui-Gon saved the life of Jar Jar while fleeing the Trade Federation Army, their MTTs, which stands for Multi-Troop Transport Ships. I looked it up.
There you go.
Jar Jar tells the Jedi that they need to flee to his hidden city. Then he recants. He says, "Oh, I can't go back. They'll do terrible things to me. Terrible things to me." Now, Qui-Gon, of course, upon hearing this, he points to Jar Jar and he says,
"You hear that?"
"Yeah."
"That is the sound of 1,000 terrible things heading this way.
If they find us, they will crush us, grind us into tiny pieces, and blast us into oblivion."
"Ah. Your support is well seen. This way. Hurry!"
Now, bear with me as I'm tying this narrative together and making these points out of Scripture. We had already read Isaiah 64:6. All of our righteous deeds are nothing but filthy rags. We are all familiar with that. The best that I can offer God is filthy rags, mm-hmm. right? So now, Jar Jar needs saving. Qui-Gon does save him, but Jar Jar says, "Hey, I can't go back to the city that I was banished from because terrible things will happen. But this army is coming that Qui-Gon points out to him. The army is coming." That reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 22. "Listen, news is coming even now. The rumble of a great army is heard approaching from the land in the north. It is coming to turn the towns of Judah into rubble, places where only jackals live. Lord," this is the key right here, and this is Jar Jar. This is us. This is the human condition. "Lord, we know that people do not control their own destiny. It is not in their power to determine what will happen to them. It's not in man to direct his steps. It's not in Jar Jar to direct his steps. He's clumsy. He does crazy stuff. Nothing ever works out. But more than that, there's an army coming right now. That's the context of Jeremiah. That's why Jeremiah says, it's not in man to direct our steps. Well, what do you mean by that, Jeremiah? Because this gigantic army is coming and we don't stand a chance mm-hmm. against them. That is the condition that Jar Jar was in and is in at this moment. But Qui-Gon has already saved his life and he is going to continue to do the same thing. Now, they make their way down under the water and into the hidden Gungan city and the bubble walls, and it's a magical place, and I would love to visit this place. But Jar Jar knows, I can't come back here. I'm under pain of death now. But his savior, mm-hmm. his savior, Qui-Gon, steps up. He says to the leader, Boss Nass, Jar Jar and I, we have a little bit of an understanding.
What is to become of Jar Jar Binks here?
He seemed to be punished.
I saved his life. He owes me what you call a life debt. Your gods demand that his life belongs to me now.
Binks? You, sir, have the life play with this and hissen?
Uh-huh.
Be gone with him.
Yes, his life belongs to me now. His savior, this Jesus figure, comes in, saves him from the army, saves him from himself. And now, because of that, Qui-Gon purchased the life of Jar Jar Binks. That is what the Gungan life debt is. And that reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know, Christian, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. That's the New English Translation. We have been bought with a price. And Jesus gave his life for us, saved us, and now we are his. And so we live for him now. We are under his care, just as Jar Jar is under the care of Qui-Gon Jinn. I think that this little exchange, this little part of the movie, when you are watching it with your friends, is an awesome way to share the gospel. Hey, you know what this reminds me of? Look at what's going on right here. Here's three little passages. They're easy passages for you to remember the gist of them. You know, first one, Isaiah 64, verse 6. Basically, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that I have to offer is not good enough to save me. Jeremiah 10, verses 22 through 24. You know, you basically need to just pull out of that we don't know how to control our own destiny. It's not in our power to determine what will happen to us in eternity. It's not within man to direct his steps. And 1 Corinthians 16, 19 through 20, just basically pull out of there that we are not our own. We were bought at a price by Jesus Christ. Jar Jar Binks exemplifies the human condition. Yes. We are all Jar Jar Binks. Anything else to add to that?
Actually, yes. This reminded me of a passage in Romans. Paul's writing to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, and that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want to do is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the evil that dwells within me. And that what you were talking about with Jar Jar, you know, he's clumsy. He doesn't do what he wants to do. Instead, he does what he knows he shouldn't do. And that just another little passage to add to your trio over there.
There you go. There you go. Nice little package. A little evangelism tool right there for you from us here at Finding Christ in Cinema. Now let's go over to the listener feedback. Oh, wait, there is no listener feedback here on episode number 2 because episode number 1 is being released in 1 minute from now. So we will move on to the lightning round. I want to talk a little bit about Amazon Instant Video because as I am getting ready for these episodes, the thing that I want to do is be able to put these movies onto my iPad so that I can watch them in bed at night or wherever I happen to be to catch up on. Now, I mentioned in the last episode that we are cord cutters. Maybe I didn't. Maybe that was in the introduction, the 00 episode. Anyway, I'm a cord cutter. We don't have TV service coming into our home, and so everything is coming over either DVD, Blu-ray, Netflix, or Amazon Instant Streaming Video, and maybe a little bit of Hulu every once in a while, and then, of course, YouTube. So all of our video viewing comes over the internet. I am a big fan of Amazon. We have a Roku player attached to our main television, you know, the one that no TV, outside TV signal comes into. And Roku plays all kinds of great content. One of the things is that we can hook up my Amazon account to it and watch films. Now, I buy movies on Amazon Instant and keep them in my storage locker, my cloud locker. And it is a great alternative to going out and collecting DVDs and having those sitting around taking up space. I want the content and most of the movies that are out there. I don't need the special edition package and all of that good stuff. So buying them on Amazon and having them available whenever I have internet connection, whether it's on the TV, on a computer, on a laptop, on a tablet, on a smartphone, what have you, is good enough for me. But it's also great for renting videos. How many people are going out to their nearest Redbox? Do you use Redbox?
I do use Redbox.
Okay, and you have to go out of your house, get into your car, turn on your car, drive in traffic, and then make your way over to the supermarket over there.
Find a parking spot at Kroger.
Yes, yeah, because that's the Redbox that you go to, yep. Either that one or at the Walmart. And how much are movie rentals now?
They are...
New releases.
It's still like it's $1.10 for regular, and then for Blu-ray, I think it's $2 something, okay. $2.99 maybe.
Now on Amazon for a new release, you're going to pay more than Redbox. So you're going to pay brand new release, and if it's a hot movie for standard definition DVD, basically you'll probably be paying $3 to $5 if you want to do high definition. It's going to be that much more. I don't know. I don't rent HD movies.
$6.99, $7.99.
Yeah, right like around that. There. But you can also buy the movies. Standard definition, usually about $10, and then high definition is probably about $15 or what have you.
Which is still cheaper than buying Blu-ray, like an actual Blu-ray disc, by the way. But anyway.
Well, and for the most part. But you do it all from the convenience of your home. And so Amazon Instant Video, I'm a fan. You should be too.
I'm going to take my little spotlight in the lightning round to talk about Breaking Bad. I know, Michael, you've said it once before. You haven't watched the show. And, you know, we've all heard the premise. Walter White, a chemistry teacher who's just been diagnosed with lung cancer, decides to make crystal methamphetamine with the hope that his family will be able to support themselves when he's gone. You know, they'll support themselves with the money that he makes while doing this. Now, up front, the show is edgy, has adult language, adult themes, adult scenes, you know, the kind that can be fast-forwarded through if it's a stumbling block for you. All of these abound in this series, so be a filter, not a sponge, once again. And, you know, you gotta ask why I'm even watching this, because I think it's an actual and truthful portrayal of how evil corrupts mankind. If anything, the story of Walter White is one of the best and most clear parables of pride. similar to that of Satan's own story. And it's like this because it follows the fall of the tragic anti-hero all the way down. And I'm not going to give any spoilers at that point because I'm still on season four. I've still got two more seasons left. Walter White's pride, in summation, is the shadow that gives the definition to the light of Jesus' selfless love and sacrifice. And for that reason, and that reason alone, I'm endorsing Breaking Bad.
It's time for our compare and contrast listener participation question of the week. Brendan, what are we going to do for this? We put out a question for the Hobbit episode, but the Hobbit episode was released on the very same day that we are recording this one.
Four minutes ago.
You can still call in and email us. We'll give you all the links to that in just a minute or what have you. We'll still honor past questions and whatnot because it's going to give us something to discuss and pull in the listeners. So for this episode, what are we going to do, Brendan?
Well, we're going to go back to the Phantom Menace, and we're going to think about Queen Amidala. What about her decision to present herself as the lowly servant Padme? Is it an image of stepping down that we've seen somewhere before?
Mm.
And stepping down in quotation marks that we've seen somewhere before? Or is it a really smart political move? Does it remind you of, a little queen in the Old Testament named Esther?
Mm.
All of these things, none of them, let us know.
Yes, you're going to have two weeks, actually, to be thinking about it and letting us know. In fact, the next episode, Brendan, what are we going to watch next episode?
For next episode, episode 3 of Finding Christ in Cinema will be about the pinnacle of, I think, MGM movies, at least from the year 1939, The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. A classic. Can't wait to watch it. I have it right here. I'm going to rip it, put it on my iPad, and we'll see what we can find in there. Some Christian themes in there. Now, of course, her aunt, says, "I'm a good Christian woman. I'm not going to tell you what I really think of you."
I'm
right?
not going to tell you what I really think of you.
Everybody loves
all my regals.
Yes, everybody loves The Wizard of Oz. So let's watch that and come back and talk about it on Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 3. We want to invite you all to visit our website often and bookmark it and come back and leave us comments there at christincinema.com, or you can send email to FCC for Finding Christ in Cinema, FCC@gctnetwork.com. Brendan, how else can people reach us?
Well, they can call us on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And for people who don't have letters on their phones, that's 507-407-4286.
You can also find us on Twitter. Follow the GCT Network at GCT Network on twitter.com/GCT Network. How about Facebook, Brendan?
Oh, it's equally easy and similar. That's facebook.com/GCT Network.
Yes, it is. And we are also on Google Plus. We have a page over there. But now Google Plus is a little bit tricky when you're trying to tell people how to do the URL. They thought that they were making it easy, but it's actually turns out to be tricky. You would go to plus.google.com. I think you can go to just google.com as well. /the plus symbol. GCT Network. See, that's where it kind of throws people off. The plus symbol has never been in URLs, but now it is because Google. Until now. And you can also, so again, that's google.com/plus GCT Network. We're also on YouTube. What is our handle on YouTube?
YouTube.com/GCTNTV.
Whoops, just got water all over my glasses. That is also correct. We are in the iTunes store now. Yeah, let me wipe this off so I can actually see. We're in the iTunes store. Well, I don't have to see this to tell you how to find us on iTunes. You just go to iTunes and do a word search in the store for Finding Christ in Cinema. You can subscribe to the podcast there and never miss an episode. We are also the big one that I just got confirmation on the other day, just in time for episode number 1, as a matter of fact, is Stitcher Radio. We are in the Stitcher Radio. It is an amazing app. It's a free app. It's an award-winning app. And, well, there's also the website as well, Stitcher.com. But you can get this app on your iPhone, your iPad, your Android devices. It's integrated into over 4 million car dashboards, with many more coming in the very near future. You can listen to all of your favorite shows anytime, anywhere, even without Wi-Fi or a cell connection. There are tens of thousands of shows to discover. So download it free today at Stitcher.com or in your app store. And you can even connect to it with your Facebook account and comment on our episodes. And that's what we're most excited about, is the ease of for people to connect with us, to communicate with us, to leave us your comments, your questions, your advice, all that good stuff. This is an open show. This is listener participation for everybody. So again, Stitcher.com, and just search for Finding Christ in Cinema. Get over to the official website of all things from the Great Commission Transmission Network at gctnetwork.com. You can hear our other shows, such as our youth ministry program, Youth Challenge Today. We have plenty of videos on there and all good things taking place at gctnetwork.com. Anything else, Brendan? And that's a wrap. You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission Transmission
at gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.